Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Miss fans know the number one stop for Golden Eagle apparel is Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Baseball, basketball, football, Campus Bookmart has it covered with clothing to fit the young and old, big and small Golden Eagle in your family. You can visit the store on Hardy Street, shop online at campusbookmart.net, or call in your order and have it mailed to your front door. However you choose to buy, always visit Campus Bookmart first. You won't be sorry. Campus Bookmart and Southern Miss, to the top.
All free record on my count. Seven, six, five, four, three, two, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Well, happy Tuesday afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Eagle Hour on Super Talk Mississippi. Bob Getty, I'm in the First Bank studio here in Hattiesburg, and I'm glad you're with us this afternoon. We've got a special show coming up for you, and we're really looking forward to this. Opening segment of the show today, as it is every day, sponsored by our buddies at Dickey's Barbecue Pit. They're great guys. They cook delicious food 7 days a week. They'll cater your upcoming tailgate party. So with football season just around the corner at Southern Miss, we know there's going to be a lot of tailgating. We suggest you call Dickey's, get it all lined up, and you'll have the tailgate of the year to kick off the football season. Dickey's Barbecue, proud supporters of the Eagle Hour. All right, we're going to depart from the norm a little bit today and get away from our more traditional programming because there's a very special event taking place here in South Mississippi, actually in the city of Laurel, and that's where my buddy Kelly Sanner and Michael Mergens are at this afternoon. It is the Dixie Youth World Series taking place in Laurel. I believe this is the fourth time in the history of that great city and its recreation department that they've hosted this national baseball tournament. Kelly and Michael are on location right now at the ball fields. Kelly, good afternoon to you and Michael both.
Bob, thank you. We are covered from the sun. It is a little bit warm and a little bit humid, and some of the teams are already driving in for a 2 o'clock game for one of the age divisions that are here. The city of Laurel actually has been hosting baseball for a while here this month and last, and this will kind of wrap things up. And here to kind of tell us more about it is Alvin Ulmer, who for 20 years has been the park and recreations director for the city of Laurel. So all those World Series that you talked about, Bob Getty, have been under the watchful eye of Coach Ulmer here. We welcome you, Alvin. Good to have you here. Not very often you get to actually sit under a tent here and kick your feet back for a little while, but kind of fill in the blanks. Let's talk about the facility, first of all, here. We used to call it the Laurel Sportsplex. I don't know if they still call it that. But let's talk about the acreage and all of the different things that are encased here in this acreage.
Yes, we have a total of about 350 acres here. Back in 98, we built the first part of the Sportsplex, which is the Susan Boone Vincent Sportsplex. They named after Mayor Vincent. They built six soccer fields, eight tennis courts, six softball fields, and we have a natatorium, 50 meter Olympic-sized pool, and we have a walking track, and we have a nature trail.
And you also got what's called a splash pad, which is right behind us. Not operational today, but this time of year, I'll bet that's a popular spot.
Yes, we actually have a splash pad that was donated to us by a leadership group. They raised the money, and we did the labor, and this probably our most used piece of equipment we have.
And I was not familiar with the term splash pad, but they're pipes that come up out of cement, and normally there'll be water shooting out of them,
right.
So the kids will like to run through it and cool themselves off on a day like today. And we mentioned there are different age groups that are actually participating at the Dixie Youth Baseball World Series this year, all the way down to the 8-year-olds. Tell us about all that.
Yeah, so what we did this time, it was the first time Dixie Youth had ever done it. So about 3 years ago, they did it, they developed what they called the D2 division. The D2 division is for smaller cities like Richland, Taylorsville, Mize, Raleigh, places like that. So we actually hosted that tournament last week. It started last Thursday and it went through Tuesday. That was 48 teams. Actually went through Wednesday. So Thursday we had one day to turn the facility back around. Then the D1 came in. That's just actually who's here this week. That's another 48 teams. So we had a total of 96 teams that's been in here over the last 2 weeks.
So when you talk about D2, to put it in collegiate or high school perspective, last week was the 1A, 2A, 3A classification,
right,
if you will.
Right.
And this week the 4A, 5A, 6A.
Right.
But there's different age groups that encompass that as well.
Right. So right now there's four different age groups. We have what we call the 8U. That's the coach pitch. They are actually playing down at the new facility, our softball complex, that's to the south of me. Then we have what we call the AAA, it's a 10-year-old. They're actually playing on these two fields here. And right next to it, we have the majors. That is the Dixie Youth version of the 12-year-old closed base. And then we have the Ozone, which is a 12-year-old open base.
Yeah, and Ozone, I think, was implemented about 10 years ago,
right,
probably, to try to keep up with some of the select baseball,
right,
divisions that play nothing but open baseball. And really, to kind of put into perspective, too, where and how big this facility is, not only was the Boone Sports Complex to the front, but the back part now, Elvin, part of it was the old Bear Creek Golf Course.
Yes.
I mean, it's interesting that as old as I am, I remember Bear Creek Golf Course, but some younger residents of Laurel don't even know what I'm talking about when I say the Bear Creek Golf Course, but that was all taken in as part of this as well.
Right. So the Bear Creek Golf Course has been around forever, and they shut down probably 7-8 years ago, and it gave us the opportunity, because we've had this project of the 8-plex softball complex actually originated the idea about back in 2005. And when they shut down, it kind of gave us the opportunity to come in and kind of redevelop that piece of property. And it's been great. It's been great. It's still under construction. We have four fields built, the youth fields. Now, we got dirt work already going on four more fields, which are going to be our adult softball fields.
Elvin Ulmer's with us. He's the director of Parks and Recs here in Laurel. I kind of joked in our pre-show discussion, Elvin, that I didn't think cities could really make any money at these tournaments, that they do it more as a goodwill gesture and help out the hotel, motels, and so on and so forth. But if it's done right, cities can make money, and Laurel has over the years, including this time with everybody coming to town. You got a bunch of teams, as you mentioned.
Right. We had 96 teams here. You know, obviously, we can't keep everybody in Laurel. Hattiesburg probably benefits the most for sales tax tourism dollars. But with the way we look at it, you know, Laurel, you know, we don't have beaches, we don't have mountains, we don't have a university here. So we look at ways we can bring people into the city of Laurel that for whatever reason would never come. And would that give us opportunity, you know, to showcase, you know, Laurel Jones County? We show them good Southern hospitality. If we can't do anything else right, we can do youth sports right here.
And the state of Louisiana team always seems to enjoy themselves even after hours.
Right. They are definitely, you know, the life of the bunch. You know, we had two different opening ceremonies. We did it at Laurel High School between the bricks. So obviously, you know, we were parade the teams in, and obviously when the Louisiana teams comes in, they throw bees and everything else, so the crowd get excited. You know, they're a little different, you know. But
and Bob Getty, I know you're listening to this, you'll get a kick out of this. And this is the 8U that's playing,
right,
over here at 2 o'clock. The South Carolina team, Bob, of 8-year-olds,
huh,
came in a decked out travel bus. like a Greyhound bus. These 8-year-olds.
Yeah, it's
coming
amazing.
Up
it's
in,
amazing.
In this bus. So they're doing it up right. And really, plans for this particular edition of the World Series started 2 years,
two
ago,
years ago
with a bidding process.
Right. So Dixie usually they go do a bidding process. So you bid on it 2 years in advance. So obviously, you get it, you have 2 years to actually to prepare for it. So in the process of doing that, you know, once you get it, you know, you bring on the local community, you get your volunteers and all. You know, obviously, we seek sponsorship from, you know, businesses, local businesses to help do this. It costs a lot of money to do it, you know, so you have to have sponsorship to do it. You know, the city puts forth some money, but at the end of the day, it's all worth it.
And the fact that you've already had World Series in a relatively short period of time, this isn't your first rodeo. So
no, we actually hosted in 2009, 2013, and 2016. This tournament here was actually supposed to have been last year, but due to COVID, you know, they backed everything up a year. So what we have going on here, we have everything that Dixie Youth offer all age groups. So this is the first time that has ever been done, and the city of Laurel is just one of the few cities that have, you know, the facilities to do something like that, you know. So there was yesterday yesterday they did the bidding process for 2023. And there was four different states here bidding for 2023. And I know next year, like we got everything here this year, but next year this Dixie Youth World Series is going to be divided up into three different states.
And actually in the 23 version, we think Brookhaven, Mississippi got one of the age.
They did. Brookhaven actually won the bid for the AA, the D2 and the D1 8U. So Debbie Hosnett in Brookhaven in 2023.
The fields look great. They're all manicured, not a hair out of place. I would imagine the rain was a little bit problematic early on, but now you're getting the benefits of all the rain we had because everything looks great.
You know, usually it's very seldom that you can go through a tournament, especially a two-week tournament, and get no rain. We have been blessed, you know, from the gods above for the weather. It's been hot, which has been great for us. We get to sell a lot of water, Poway, and et cetera. The Virginia and the North Carolina people have been having a little problem with it, you know, with the humidity. So, but other than that, everything's been good.
Yeah, the Powerade and water I can see would be popular. I'm more interested in the et cetera.
Yeah, yeah, gotcha.
That might be sold a little bit later on. Well, congratulations to you and your staff, and I'm sure this is fully taxed. Everybody on your staff put this together, but the end is near. And great facilities here with nearly 500 acres as part of the Sportsplex. Laurel centrally located with interstates coming in from every direction. So a great location to be. We're broadcasting the Eagle Hour live from the Dixie Youth Baseball World Series. Still to come, some of the best players to ever play at Laurel Jones County. You know how I know? They told me so. And we'll be talking to them as the Eagle Hour continues in just a moment.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, glad you're with us this afternoon. Welcome back to the First Bank Studio here in Hattiesburg. Bob Getty with you this afternoon. Michael Mergens and Kelly Sander over in Laurel. We'll be going back to them in just a moment. First, I want to remind you about our good friends at Campus Bookmart and campusbookmart.net. Southern Miss football apparel arriving each and every day. The inventory has never been better. They're open 6 days a week right across from the Southern Miss campus. Or, of course, you can shop them online at campusbookmart.net. We're at the Dixie Youth World Series in Laurel. Tomorrow, the JT Show will be in Laurel, and they'll be broadcasting from the complex tomorrow statewide from 10 o'clock until 10 in the morning to 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. That JT broadcast, special edition of the JT Show, sponsored by the City of Laurel and Mayor Johnny McGee, Ellisville Auto Parts, the Jones County Board of Supervisors, Spartan Mosquito Company, and Wallace Forestry. We want to thank those fine businesses and government for making it possible for us to bring the JT Show with Gerard down to the ball complex tomorrow. Really looking forward to that. We're at the Dixie Youth World Series site in Laurel, taking a little break from our normal programming because we just think the Dixie Youth World Series is such a great event for the state of Mississippi and, of course, South Mississippi. Kelly Sander and Michael Mergens are on location. We're going to go back to the ballpark with those two guys.
Bob, thanks very much. We're here under our Super Talk Mississippi tent right next to the splash pad, if you're familiar with the layout here at the ballpark at the Sportsplex. Talking now, and I kidded as we went into the commercial break, I'm saying that, in my opinion, these three are three of better, if not the upper crust of baseball players that have ever come through the Laurel Jones County program. Chuck Robertson's here. He actually kind of went the football route, too. We're going to talk a little bit with him about that. David Tanner and Corey Kaiser are here, who I actually coached against. They've changed a little bit. Of course, they said the same thing to me. And so we've all gotten reacquainted here. Guys, good to have you here. And as it's only natural, I guess, to kind of harken back to quote-unquote, the good old days when you guys were playing at Merchant Park in Ellisville and this sports complex didn't even exist. So when you talk about the Dixie Youth World Series and producer Todd Elzey calls you and says, hey, we want to do this show and we want you guys to come on. What sort of memories? We'll start with you, Corey. What sort of memories did that bring back for you?
Just a flood of great memories. The guy sitting here to my right, David Tanner, probably the best 12-year-old player. You see the Little League World Series on TV, and they hit 300-foot home runs. This dude was doing that before it was cool to do that. If you go to Merchants on the 12-year-old field, there's actually the building up there, I would say, it's a good 150 feet past the 200-foot field, and this dude was hitting them over it. Me and Chuck tried all we could. We couldn't even make it to the building. This dude's hitting them over the building at 12.
That's really quite a compliment, David Tanner, considering the guy sitting next to you was drafted as a Major League Baseball player and threw the ball as hard as anybody I ever saw at the age of 11 and 12.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was just riding on the coattails of these two guys. I mean, it was either step up or get left behind, you know, playing with these guys. So, you know, like you said, the memories that come back from World Series is just playing baseball and all in general is just great memories, man. I cherished every moment of it.
Did you hear Corey say something like that about you, and you obviously have got other people that maybe know who you are but don't know what you were back then. How do you answer things like that when somebody says, the David Tanner, you know, for example?
Not really. I'm kind of humble, you know, just.
And you've always been kind of quiet. Yeah.
This guy here to my left, Kaiser, you know, he's going pro, throwing 95, 96, you know,
weighed about 110 pounds.
Yeah, so I kind of stopped when I was 13, and he just kept going.
So Chuck, you went it would be natural to go the baseball route, but you went the football route and actually have a state championship under your belt at Taylorsville High School. Tell us about the transition from baseball to football and why you went the football route.
One thing.
Let's see if his mic is on here. We want to make sure we get him on. Yeah, at Taylorsville, we mentioned that he won a state championship.
Yeah, it's no different. My dad was always he always coached us when we were growing up. My dad was a football coach when I was younger, and I had an older brother who played football as well. So as they talked about growing up, I kind of growed wider instead of up. So, you know, football to me was just more of the better progression for me. And, you know, when we were younger, you know, we all played football growing up, and they kind of just stayed with baseball. And the football route, it wasn't so much that. You know, that's the opportunity I had to go get a free education. And so that kind of was more natural toward me to go that route. You know, I enjoyed baseball part of it, but I was more built for the football part of it.
Was the mentality between the two sports any different? And if so, how?
You know, like I said, my father coached us. So the mentality between the two sports was there was not much different. You know, you played hard or you didn't get to play. You know, you gave effort or you didn't get to play. So there's a fine line between being aggressive and being a little cocky. So that, you know, there's no, like, even when I was coaching at Taylorsville, we encouraged all players to play every sport because there's no negative for a pitcher to be put in a situation where it's fourth and one or a tight end to be put in a situation where he has to make a free throw in a game-winning situation or has to make a pitch. So anytime you put in any kind of tough situation, I think there's no negative in that. I think, you know, that's one thing that I hate about these kids nowadays want to specialize in is I think any time that you can give your body rest from one sport to the next and go enjoy other sports and get to know other people. You know, you talk about at the beginning of the show, you talked about us bringing up memories. We have a conversation, a text group that we talk all the time to this day. And so it wasn't because that, you know, of anything but sports. You know, sports brought us together and it kind of keeps us together too. So it's been a full circle effect for, especially for us.
And I when I ask these questions, I don't want to embarrass you guys because I see you kind of blushing when I ask these questions. And they're not meant to be patronizing. But when I talk to people who are of your age, I mean, your names always come up. And I said, look, I lived it. I had to coach against them. So don't tell me, right? I mean, I know what you're... Did you know you were good at the time? And that sounds like a really...
Corey always knew he was good, whether he thought he was or not. But when Corey walked on the field, he thought he was the best. So.
Well, and that was the mentality to me that separated a lot of us. When I stepped on the field, it didn't matter. If I was 12, if I was practicing with a high school team, I'm still better than you. So I'm going to take that mentality. It doesn't matter if you're 18 and I'm 12 or if to this day, I'm 43. If I get out there with my daughter on softball field, she's 12, I'm still better than them. And I can hit it further. I can throw it harder. And if I can't, I'll come back tomorrow and we'll play again.
Well, with all due respect, Corey, I hope you're better than 8-year-old.
I'm not. Age has come on, and it's not pretty now.
At what time in your particular situation, Corey, did you start getting word that you might have a skill set that would be useful in the major leagues? And how did you guys react to all the pub that he was getting a little bit later on? We'll start with Corey.
I think it was right before my senior year, so I didn't play football in high school. Right before baseball starts, in January or so, around that October, November mark, I start going to some camps where I'm getting recruited, and all of a sudden the magic numbers of 91, 92 comes about. So light bulbs started going off in people's heads, and it's like, uh-oh, you know, I may be a little better than I used to be.
But you did commit to UNO.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
The great Ron Maestri was coaching there.
Yep.
Right?
And that was
a fallback.
We'll have to tell that story off air.
Okay.
Of why we did that. But it was at the time, it was one of the second or third largest scholarships ever. You know, baseball doesn't have but 11.75 scholarships. They offered a 70% scholarship.
Sure.
For an out-of-state student, so that was, you know, it beat Ole Miss's 20%. It beat Mississippi State's 15%. So let's roll with that.
Sure, sure. But I'm saying, but then you get the call. You get drafted in the relatively early rounds of the Major League draft. Royals?
Yep.
Kansas City Royals. Okay. So you got a decision to make.
Yep.
Tell us how that went.
It's always been my goal when we were here at these World Series as 10, 11, 12 years old, I wanted to play professional baseball. I didn't say major leagues. I wanted professional. So given the opportunity.
So no Detroit Tigers
nope,
then?
Nope. Our Cincinnati Reds.
Professional baseball, yeah. Okay.
But, you know, I mean, it was one of those. It was the opportunity of a lifetime. Mm-hmm. You got to seize the moment when it comes. And, you know, knowing now that. And then they always put in your contract that they'll pay for college. So I can go to college now and play baseball, or I can go to college later, and I can say something. I did something that most 9, 10, 11, 12-year-olds only dream about.
So it made it easy. So you guys get the word that Corey's going pro or whatever. Everybody starts looking at him. How do you guys react to that? That here's one of the three amigos here is going to get the call.
I think, you know, back playing high school, I mean, it took the pressure off of us. You know, we could just play.
Okay, and we're going to continue that discussion with three of the better players, if not the best, to ever play in the Laurel Jones County program. They played at Ellisville Merchant Park. We'll talk about this Sportsplex, what the Dixie Youth World Series means to the city, and continue down memory lane as this special edition of the Eagle Hour live from the 2021 Dixie Youth Baseball World Series at the Laurel Sportsplex continues after these commercial messages.
Southern Miss to the top.
Welcome back to a special edition of the Eagle Hour from the Dixie Youth World Series in Laurel. This segment sponsored by our good buddies at 4th Street Bar and Grill, where they have the best $8.95 plate lunch 5 days a week you'll find anywhere. Friday is Catfish Day. Take it from a boy that lived in the Delta for 20-plus years. You'll never eat a better piece of catfish than you will this Friday at 4th Street Bar and Grill. And we thank them very much for their support of our program. All right, speaking of baseball, tomorrow on the Eagle Hour, the new Southern Miss assistant baseball coach Ben Brewer joins us. He coached under Hill Denson in the past and is now an assistant to Scott Berry. So we look very forward to introducing the new coach, Coach Brewer, to the Golden Eagle Nation through Eagle Hour. Thursday, former NFL football star, Golden Eagle, and Super Bowl star Todd Pinkston will be on the Eagle Hour. We certainly look forward to that conversation. And then Friday, Caleb Hamill will be joining Michael and I as we'll be helping him celebrate a big weekend at Excalibur Vapes here at Oak Grove in Hattiesburg. And we look forward to taking the show back on the road. Also, a quick reminder that the Super Talk Network will be bringing the JT Show to the Laurel Sports Complex tomorrow afternoon for a 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. statewide broadcast as we continue our coverage of the Dixie Youth World Series. All of this special coverage sponsored by the City of Laurel, Ellisville Auto Parts, the Jones County Board of Supervisors, Spartan Mosquito Company, and Wallace Forestry. And we're very grateful to those great businesses and, of course, the governments of the City of Laurel and the Jones County Board of Supervisors for making this coverage possible. All right, back to the site of the Dixie Youth World Series with Kelly and Michael.
Bob Getty, thanks very much. Continuing our discussion with Chuck Robertson, David Tanner, and Corey Kaiser, three, in my opinion, of the best youth baseball players to ever play at this in this area, representing Laurel Jones County, both in the 1989 World Series, which was in Hattiesburg. Hattiesburg hosted it that year, and I coached in that one, and then also in 1992 in Augusta, Georgia. David Tanner, let's focus on you a little bit. Were you always a baseball guy? And, you know, coming up, or were there any other sports that you were attracted to playing?
Yeah, it was just pretty much baseball. You know, had older brothers that played, so, I mean, you just kind of tagged along. And if you wanted to play in the yard, you know, you know, if you wanted to play with them, you had to play baseball. So,
And back then, you were thickly built. You weren't a four-cylinder model like Kaiser, but you weren't an eight-cylinder model either, like Robert. So you were kind of a six-cylinder guy. Where did the power come from? I mean, and other people, not just these two, have said
he had a bat.
Well,
we can't go on air without talking about his bat that he had. It was a rock bat. We hit rocks with it.
So there were chinks in it?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
It had a stamp. It had
DYB.
Right.
But during the day, we're hitting rocks with it. You can't break the thing. And then he's hitting 300-foot home runs at night with it.
But they only he could swing it now. It wasn't like it was just and bats were made different than they are now. It wasn't the drop 11s and drop, you know, right. It was a 29, 26, you know, or whatever size it was. It was swinging a log.
So, David, was it just hand speed or what?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I mean, you know, my stepdad had a thing called the rope ball.
I remember the rope
about
ball.
30 foot long on a piece of rope.
Right.
And he stood around and he swung it in circles and you got your timing down. If I was outside, I had a ball in my hand, had a bat in our hand. We'd go down to the cage on our own, even when we wasn't practicing. We was all together playing baseball.
Or playing wiffle ball. We were doing something competitive all the time.
Now, you were a catcher, Chuck, and that was actually kind of only – did you get it that position by default?
Yes, because, you know, like I told you, my dad coached, and then nobody else would catch Corey or David, and I didn't have a choice. It was you go catch, and, you know, it is what it is, but, yeah.
Yeah, but when you talk to some of your teammates, they'll say part of the reason that you caught was because, in their words, nobody else was stupid enough to do it.
And that has a lot to do with it as well. That we pick and play, but, yeah. You know how we talk about having confidence and, you know, nobody else would catch them. By God, I'd catch them. You know, yeah. And I didn't always survive some of those nights. You know, we pick and play, but I had to have a special glove to put on. My hand would swell most of the time when both of them pitched. Seriously, it was a padded.
You didn't put a sponge?
I had some kind of pad. Oh, yeah. It was. But I put some kind of padded handed. Yeah, they laugh and pick. Look at them laughing now. But that's the truth. That was one of those deals where I saw how good they were, and I wanted to be a part of it. You know, the only time you got to be a part of when them two pitched was catch. Because they didn't get many hit out in the field. They didn't get many hit to many other people. So they either struck them out or, you know, the only way to be a part of the game was to catch some. So I didn't mind stepping up and doing that.
And we're out here at the Dixie Youth Baseball World Series in Laurel, and you can hear the breeze. Thank the heavens above that we're getting this breeze in this heat today. But as you guys get to see some of the best players now from around the South, and there's no harm in admitting when you look at these kids, you're going, we were way better than these kids are. I mean, it's,
oh yeah,
I agree. I thought that I'm going, these kids aren't near as good as the guys like you that I remember playing.
Yeah,
is that the case?
Yeah, you know, we talk about it all the time. You know, one thing that we think is different is when we played 11-12, it was closed bases.
Right,
you weren't worried about picking off. You weren't worried about pitching from the stretch. You wasn't worrying about leading off. You wouldn't. And so these guys learned how to pitch without throwing. We didn't throw many curveballs either.
Right.
It was fastball and a little changeup every now and then.
Well,
and
when
they
you
learned.
But in all fairness, when Kizer and Tanner are 11 and 12 throwing at 88,
that's
you
right.
Really don't have
that's right. But I think that you learn the game of baseball a little more when you not have to worry about everything else. When you can go, we use the little bats. We use the smaller. They didn't have the big barrel bats. You know, and I think the skill set was a little different just because you weren't worried about the other things. You learn the game of baseball. You learn how to bunt. You learn how to field a ball. You learn how to pitch.
It's interesting that you say you learn how to bunt, because that is one thing that is precariously absent from any baseball now.
Yeah.
And it sickens me because that is a way that you can, particularly now with the major league teams going into extra innings, they put the runner at second base. They still won't bunt. And I'm going, what is the aversion? What
blows
is the
problem? My mind.
What is the problem with bunting?
I mean, small ball, you know.
Now, this
there's
comes
a
from a guy that never, that wouldn't bunt, would sit on the bench before he would bunt, and now he's an advocate for it.
But how many times was he asked to?
Not many, but my dad thought everybody should bunt. So.
He did. Yeah. He did. And one time I did get benched because we were beating the team, and Chuck hit a double, and he gave me the bunt, and I didn't see the sign from the coach, and I hit a home run. And I come back in, and he said, "Nice bunt. Go sit down."
And the double for Chuck should have been, as you told me, an inside the park home run.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Hey, look, the further you hit, the less you got to run. And I didn't get many doubles in my lifetime.
And you guys, we mentioned you played at Merchants Park in Ellisville. Does Merchants still exist, right?
Yep.
But really, the power shift, if you will, has kind of moved to the Laurel area rather than Ellisville.
And looking at this, I see why. I mean, those fields are – That's a minor league facilities right there. I mean, that's nice.
And Corey Kizer, how did the game of baseball perspective change when you started doing it for a living?
It became a business just like anything else, and you learn very quickly that you're a number, and everybody's expendable. Just like in a business, if you don't produce, you'll go, and you see people get cut. You see people get called into the manager's office and come out with tears in their eyes, and you know, eventually you're one of those guys, but you know that your job's on the line every day.
But, but you also got to achieve it at a level that very, very few other people can ever say.
Absolutely, and that's what one of my guys, he was here coaching. We met through Facebook and everything, and he's from Florida, Sebring, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
His guys got beat last night 7-5, but he was one of them that, you know, he come up through here, and he was an honor to be here, but he was a minor league guy, and that's we kind of had that talk. We met and had lunch last Friday, and we kind of talked about old times.
See,
and
that's
good
what it's
things,
about.
But you know, and when we talked about Little League, and even him, he was like, you know, I mean, these guys, why they got beat last night, he said, we made three base running errors. They were small things, but you know what? We got beat by two runs, and it cost us a game.
And as we begin to wrap things up, I do just want to ask you that when you guys got a call that we wanted to have you on this program today as three of the better players that ever played in this game, what was your reaction? Were you just going, are you kidding me?
Or, if we're all honest, we got on our group text, and we picked on people that it wasn't them because we were better.
Otherwise, they would have been invited.
Exactly. If you were better than us, you would have been invited.
And believe
they
it
chose
or not,
us.
The talk of David and Corey being, but I mean that's brought up quite often. That of them being as good as they were, as young as they were. We actually talk about it quite often. So it's not unusual for them to get called in. I don't know why. I guess I just got to tag along with them, but.
But you've always been, David, a man of few words. Really? I mean, how did you react to it?
My first reaction was, there's no way. You know, I'm not coming on there talking about that because, you know, and you alluded to it earlier. I knew I was pretty good, but I never thought I was awesome or, you know, heads and tails above everybody else. You know, I was just trying to ride these guys' coattails. They were smashing and playing, and you had to catch up with them.
Well, but there's something to be said for that, though. Inter-team competition.
Oh, yeah.
Friendly competition. It seems now where things have evolved in a negative way to where competition is a four-letter word. You know, parents will say, don't raise your voice to my son. Don't you say this to my son. Don't you challenge my son. And I think the only people that are going to hurt in the long run is the son. Guys, great to be here in Laurel. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Kelly.
For the memories. I would never want to have to go back and try to beat you again. I didn't know how to do it the first time, so I don't know that I'd know how to do it the second time. But you're part of the reason why Laurel baseball history has been so good for so long. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Kelly.
Corey Kizer, David Tanner, Chuck Robertson, thanks, guys. We're going to take a break. On the other side of the commercial break, Bob Getty will rejoin us, and we'll get you up to date on all the sports headlines going on around the world as we continue live from the Dixie Youth Baseball World Series in Laurel, Mississippi. The Eagle Hour continues in a moment.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, thanks for joining us this afternoon for a special edition of the Eagle Hour from the Dixie Youth World Series in Laurel. And speaking of baseball, if you've got a baseball player at your household, no better place to take them than DBAT. They've got some great camps coming up for kids of all ages. You can reach out to the good folks there at D1 and DBAT to get all of that information. They're located on Hardy Street. They do really state-of-the-art training for kids in baseball and softball. And on the other side of the venue, which is magnificent, training for every athlete of every age. D1, DBAT. I know Kelly Sanders been there. Kelly, it's quite a facility, is it not?
It really is. They've got the indoor turf so that you can work your sprints. They have free weights, and they'll tailor make your sports weight training program specific to your sport. Obviously, a soccer guy is not going to train like an offensive tackle in football. So they kind of see what you're wanting to do, and they'll tailor make it for you. So we highly recommend D1. Bob, and some other sports headlines. The Ockness Monsters' little brother is headed to Southern Miss in baseball. Josh Ock has announced on social media that he is headed to the University of Southern Mississippi. So Josh Ock, actually Baseball Incorporated is also posting that Josh Ock is announcing his commitment to the University of Southern Mississippi. So another Ockness Monster is headed to Hattiesburg. And it looks like, Bob, we're inside 30 days now, right, before the first football game at Southern Miss. So we're heading down that home stretch.
That practice continues to be really high-spirited and up-tempo energy. I think they may get a day off tomorrow. I may have my days off, but I think they're going to get one day off this week before they wrap up week one. It's a new era, Kelly Sander. You can sense the excitement in the air. New quarterback in town, new coaching staff in town, a lot of reasons to be upbeat and excited about the upcoming football season.
And I don't want to hammer this too hard, but there's also a new beer in town, Gold Rush, which is the Southern Prohibition blend that they've come up with specifically for Golden Eagle football fans that you'll be able to buy in the Rock and in and around the Hattiesburg area. I do want to do that sampling, that
Correct.
Taste sampling on the air, Bob. We'll have to get together with those guys as Gold Rush is unveiled.
And I believe we have to have law enforcement on site when we do that.
Do we?
Is that correct? Yeah.
Just for a sampling?
Yeah, just for a sampling.
Well, it depends on, you know, as President Clinton would say, it depends on what you mean by sampling,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
My sample might be a little bit bigger
anyway
than yours. But a postscript to our interview here at the Dixie Youth World Series, Todd Elzey, of course, one of our guys at Super Talk, mentioned that he was on a team with Chuck Robertson, David Tanner, and Corey Cotton. And I said, wait a minute, you were on the same team with them? And, Bob, I can confirm that all three of those great players said if it weren't for Todd, they would have been thirsty the entire game. So Todd was there with Gatorade.
And they would have hurt their arms carrying their bats around and stuff. It had not been for Todd.
Right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Right.
Todd
right.
was the equipment and water boy for these guys as they played. But, you know, Todd got a trophy too,
yeah,
right?
There you
so
go.
I guess that's all that matters.
Well, you
man,
know,
the
Kelly,
economic impact of this thing, well.
Yeah, and you know, in an area of the state that baseball is so beloved from Southern Miss down to the youth leagues, this is really baseball country in the state of Mississippi. So I think it's very fitting that the Dixie Youth World Series is in Laurel. And, I mean, my gosh, tip your hat to the city of Laurel. I think you said earlier this is the fourth time that they have bid and won the bid and hosted this tournament.
And this facility, for a city this size, to have nearly 400 acres of recreational things to, and not just for the kids. There's walking trails. We mentioned for the little kids, there's the splash pads. There's the softball fields, the baseball fields, the soccer fields. I mean, something for the tennis courts, something for everybody of all ages. And that takes a commitment, and financial and political commitment to get that done. And this isn't, as one of the guys was saying, you know, these fields are immaculate and would make any city proud. So right. The Laurel, City of Laurel should be saluted for their efforts here. The last 2 or 3 weeks they've had teams in here.
Also want to remind our listening audience that, again, that tomorrow the JT Show with Gerard will be broadcasting from 10 to 1 out at the complex. Super Talk continues its coverage of the Dixie Youth World Series, and I want to thank the City of Laurel, as you just mentioned, Kelly, the Jones County Board of Supervisors, Ellisville Auto Parts, Spartan Mosquito, Wally Forestry. They're sponsoring all of the Super Talk coverage of the Dixie Youth World Series. Tomorrow on the show, more baseball. Ben Brewer, who is the new assistant baseball coach on the Southern Miss baseball program, a former Hill Denson protege. He'll be on the show. Todd Pinkston on the show Thursday. Kelly, real quickly, you're going to be back at the Indy Speedway, and I think we're going to talk to you Friday from Excalibur Vapes. You know, speaking of the Gold Rush beer, and you don't want to hammer it too much, don't be hammered when we call you Friday afternoon, please.
I'm a professional, Bob. That will not happen, and it'll also be a chance for me to get to talk to some SWA professional wrestlers.
There we go.
They're going to be on hand, I think, at Excalibur Vape. So if you guys get out of hand, you know, I know the Sic'em command words.
There we go.
Guys.
All right. I want to thank Michael Morgans for producing for the broadcast this afternoon on site. Todd Elzey set everything up for us. And Kelly, my thanks to you for sitting out of the heat and hosting it. I look forward to talking to you from Indianapolis Friday. And until then, everyone, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.